Hello and welcome into another episode of Lessons in Product Management. I'm your host, John Fontenot, and I'm excited to get into part two of Powerful Ideation for Better Decision Making, where we talk about group decisions, group brainstorming, and how to come up with better solutions as a group. But before we do, there are several hundred of you who listen on Apple Podcasts every week, and I want to say thank you. But I also want to ask you, since you're on Apple Podcasts, which is the only podcast where you can leave ratings and reviews, it would mean the world to me if you would go to the bottom where the show notes are, click see all episodes, scroll down to the bottom, and you should see a spot where you can click that 5-star rating and leave us a review to let us know how we're doing. So with that out of the way, let's jump into part two of Powerful Ideation for Better Decision Making. So in this is a continuation from insights gained from the book Decisive by Chip and Dan Heath, which I strongly recommend for anyone in product management who's looking to make better decisions. And there's a few different things that I want to speak to today that hopefully help equip you this week and going forward to make better decisions in a group setting. Okay. So number one is a concept called the vanishing options test. And this is really, really powerful, right? Because sometimes we shine what Chip and Dan Heath call our spotlights on the first solution or on a problem in a very narrow way, right? And a big section of the book is narrowing or not taking a narrow frame, but widening your frame, right? So what the vanishing options test does is it forces us to widen our frame. And this is how. So let's say you come up with kind of the two or three gut reaction options for how to solve a problem or potential decisions to a scenario that you face, right? The vanishing options test says, okay, you have two or three decisions that you could make or two or three solutions, since we're speaking in product management terms here. What if we couldn't do any of that? And it's as simple as that. It's just asking yourself, if we couldn't do any of those three things, let's just say hypothetically they weren't feasible or they weren't viable, what would we do? And it forces you to start thinking differently, because you've almost exhausted your gut reactions or your instincts, your intuition, and it forces your mind to start working in new ways outside of just what comes off as intuitive or instinctive. So that's number one, vanishing options test. If you're in a group setting, be that person that's looking at the different ideas you're putting up or the different potential solutions to a problem you've prioritized to solve, and just ask the question in the group, what if we couldn't do any of that? What do we do then? And see what happens. I bet you'll be surprised. Number two is multi-tracking. So this is super interesting in a lot of ways, right? But the way that I like to think of it through the product lens, and they even give a similar example in the book around design practices, but I really think that putting this into practice from like the discovery and validation phases of product management is really powerful, right? So if you have multiple options of ways you could solve a problem, one of the key pitfalls that we have is picking a solution and then going down the path of... A lot of times we pick a solution, then we just go develop it, right? Which is terrible. But not quite as bad, but still pretty bad, is picking a solution and then going with that one solution into design testing and validation, right? Where we say, okay, here's our solution. Let's go see if it's desirable. Okay, let's go see if it's usable. Okay, let's go ship the product, right? And that's not terrible, but it's not going to get you optimal outcomes, right? So what multi-tracking does is it says, okay, there's two or three potentially viable and feasible solutions. Let's go and test for desirability with all three of them at the same time, right? And let's quantify how we're going to measure what's the most desirable. And then let's also go test for usability. And so you're not pigeonholing yourself into one solution. And then when you're testing, you're not creating the scenario where your users There's this social pressure, right, where people are giving trying to give critical feedback, and they want to be nice. People don't want to be mean and tear apart your thing. But if you're like, hey, we have multiple options here, then people are much more willing to say, okay, we're really trying to get real feedback on multiple options, and they're not just trying to like get me to tell them that their, you know, their baby looks pretty or something like that, right? So that's what multi-tracking does. It keeps your options open. It allows you to test and validate more than one thing at a time. And when you're going through the testing phases, you'll get better feedback from your users that you're testing with. And then, so how does that play into group ideation? Well, going back to group ideation, right? It helps us in those early stages to understand that we don't have to make either or decisions. We don't have to say, man, we have to decide right now which one we go with. It allows you to take that ideation and move it into validation just as seamlessly by multi-tracking those ideas through the de-risking phases of testing and validation. So that's how it ties back, if anyone was wondering. And then lastly, if you've hit a brick wall, let's say you have a really complex and hairy problem you're trying to solve, it's possible that you might hit a brick wall, which that happens sometimes. You know, there's writer's block, there's creator's block. Sometimes we just like our brains aren't functioning and there's not enough caffeine in the world to help us resolve this problem. So the last trick for ideation is find someone who solved your problem already, right? Whether it's in your space or in a space where you can find like analogous solutions, right? One of the examples in the book was this one designer was trying to design a swimsuit for optimal speed and reducing friction. And, you know, the common thought was they needed like a softer, silkier material for these Olympic swimmers. And they did all kind of research and found that sharks, who are some of, you know, the fastest swimmers in the ocean, you know, actually had really, really tough skin, but it was designed in a way that allowed them to cut through the water. And they designed some swimwear based on the concept of shark skin. And there was noticeably different times for the swimmers who wore it. And it only lasted a few years in the Olympics before they banned it as an unfair competitive advantage. And I love this story because it's like, man, how could we as product people go look at analogous solutions to something to a problem that we're trying to solve? And something, whether it's in nature or with animals or in other industries, that they've solved it. And we can find some unique insight that gives us that strong of a competitive advantage to where in the Olympics, it was such a competitive advantage, they had to ban it. Like, I think it's awesome. So if we could find that, I think that's great. And it allows us to open up our solution set as well by thinking well beyond kind of our local state and what's here and now in front of us, or what's the heuristic or best practice in our industry. And allows us to truly have opportunities to innovate. So find someone who solved your problems. It might be in your space, but oftentimes it's better to look outside of your space. You're not tempted to copy competitors and all the assumptions that come along with that. So I hope that's helpful. Three group ideation tactics for better decision-making. Ask yourself, what if we can't do any of these things with the vanishing options test? Multi-track your ideas through testing and validation, and then find someone who solved your problems, preferably in another industry or in nature or in an analogous scenario to yours. So thanks for joining me this week. Before you go, make sure you drop us a rating and review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. And even if you're not, if you're on an iPhone and you're listening on Spotify, the Apple Podcast app is a default app on your phone. Go find us. And leave us a rating and review if you're enjoying it. Even if you don't like listening on the Apple Podcast, it would be appreciated. Thanks for joining me today, and I'll see you next week on Lessons in Product Management.